last week we started talking about what it's like to be on a trip, right? Every time you go on a trip, it has three things, right? A beginning, our destination, and then there's the journey. And then there's the journey. The beginning happened, we talked about, when we put our faith in Christ and became a new creation in Christ. That was what happened last week. We became a transformed, completely new thing, and a new creation. And we talked about how you have to start there. You can't be on a journey if you haven't started at the beginning. We talked about that. We talked about the destination being Christ, our walk with Him, eternity with heaven, walking close with the life giver and the Savior, our King, and just really following Him. And so then there's the journey. How many people have been on a trip of some sort, or some sort of a journey, and it really changed you? It really impacted you? Has that ever happened to you, where you're like, wow, you just, something about getting away from the everyday, and we get on this journey, and things happen in our lives, and God changes us. That's part of the faith walk. We are changed on the journey. We're transformed as we go on this journey. The same person, the same new creation in Christ, but yet at the same time, this new creation in Christ, guess what? I still got a lot of the old man. You know, the old stuff of my old life still seems to be floating around in my brain, quick to my typical reactions, my normal responses. There's a lot of transformation that still needs to happen in me. Is it possible to live as a follower of Christ and not change? Yeah. If you become a follower of Christ, you will change. Things will change in you. And if you stay the same, then you have to stop and say, do I really have any idea what it means to become a new creation? And that's something we all have to come to that place of saying, I need you to change me. Our path is a winding one, isn't it? It kind of goes all over the place in life. And sometimes it's because of our choices. Sometimes it's because of circumstances. Sometimes it's just life, right? Life takes us on all kinds of little side roads. But the good news of our verse today is that we can find God's good, pleasing, and perfect will and plan for our lives. Is that good news? It is good news, because there's a lot of, you know, if you're ever, how many people have been on corn mazes before? Raise your hand if you've been on a corn maze. All it is just, you're in a cornfield and they cut paths. And so you start going down these paths and you have to find your way out. And they've got all kinds of these double backs and blind dead ends, and you can get yourself lost real easy in a corn maze. I hate them, because I hate that feeling of like, I can't get out of here. And sometimes you really have a hard time finding your way out. God said we can find His will, His path, His direction for our lives. Kind of like that map. You know, the map without the North Star or seeing the sun rise and set, the map doesn't do you any good without some outside something that shows you which direction is which. Just like the compass. The compass is a useless piece of metal if it didn't have the interaction with the magnet inside and the magnetic forces of the poles. It would be useless. And the GPS, again, I used to use it this weekend. If I don't have service, pretty useless to me. If I don't have something outside of the phone, it's pretty useless. But we can find our path with God being our leader and director. Let's stand as we read together our verse, see what God has for us today. And He has something for us today. Amen? Amen. Let's read together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Oh God, thank you for this verse. It is something that we can stand on. As we walk through all the rough and tumble of life, we can stand on this promise that says, I'll be able to test and approve, find your perfect will in my life, your good will, your pleasing will. Thank you, God, that this isn't just something that we kind of wander through and hope we get it right. God, you've promised we can find your way. We can find your way for us through life. So just, God, take us deeper into this. Because every one of us, every story here has a pathway that has some degree of uncertainty to it. And we need you. We need somebody from the outside that's going to say, no, this way. Here's the path. Here's the way that you're supposed to go. So we are desperate to hear this, Lord God, as we think about what tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, we have in store for us. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful to your promise. We pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Therefore, I urge you, Paul is, the Holy Spirit really is urging us. He's just pushing us towards something. It's like, you've got to go this way. He's urging us, in view of God's mercy. He says, get your mind, your head in the right place. And God's word is so practical. This is the everyday stuff of life. It says, in view of God's mercy, he says, offer yourself, give yourself as a living sacrifice of worship to God. But do it in view of what? God. First of all, in view of God. I don't know too many people that really, truly believe, after having given it a lot of thought, that there really is no God. This is all just so many molecules and atoms and matter, and there's nothing beyond this. And when you live, you start to become something, you grow, you old, you die, and you cease to be, and that's it. I don't know too many people who really believe that there is absolutely no meaning to this life. There are those that, there's a lot more agnostics who think, oh yeah, I'm sure there's a God. This all didn't just happen by accident. Yeah, well, some of those folks, yeah, there's a God out there. I'm sure it was designed by somebody, but I don't really know. You can't really know who he is or find his leading in your life or have him speak to you. And God is a God. And if he truly did create all this, that he would just create it and say, have fun. I'm going to go do something else. That makes no sense. If God created it, he had an interest and a purpose in it. There's a reason behind it. And he's involved in it. So Paul's saying, in view of God, there is somebody in the midst of all of this stuff of life that you're dealing with. In view of God's, what? Mercy. This tells us a little more about God. He's a merciful God. What is mercy? It is not getting what we do deserve, right? Couple different ways of describing grace and mercy. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. I didn't deserve God's love based upon how I treated him, but I got it. It was grace. I did deserve the results, the consequences of my sin. I walked my own way for half my life and said, I'm doing things my way, and I want you to be who I want you to be. I want you to I'm going to make you the God that fits into my life. And then I came to the point of realizing, you can't really make up a God. He is who he is. I need to find out who he is. He doesn't need to become who I want him to be, right? And so when I came to that place of saying, that's who you are, God. You're a God of grace, but sin has consequences, and the consequences were my eternal separation from God, spiritual death, eternity separated from God in hell. That's what my choice bought me. Okay? Mercy said, you deserve that, but I'm not going to give that to you. I'm placing that on my son, Jesus. That's mercy. Okay? In view of God, creator of everything, in view of his mercy towards me, this is a good God. He's saying, I urge you, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Okay, God, if you created me and you created the whole world and you took what I deserved and put it upon your own son, what else can I do, God, but follow you and love you and thank you for not leaving me resigned to my eternity, separated from you, my eternity of suffering. Thank you, God, for seeing my problem, seeing my sin, and loving me in the midst of it. Thank you, God. What else can I do? This is your reasonable, your true and proper worship. Some of the translations say your reasonable worship. What else could I do, God, but love you and follow you if you did that for me? What else could I do? That's what Paul is saying. Offer your bodies to him completely. Here's my life, that song we sing. Here's my life, I lay it down. I surrender it all to you. Right? Those aren't just words. That's a cry of our heart. I surrender all of it. Why would I hold anything back from you, God? Why would I hold anything back? Surrender it all. I want to honor you as my Father. I want to obey you as my Lord. You know, we don't see that very much today, do we? How often do you see somebody saying, bowing down on their knee before someone and saying, I offer you my service. I'm yours. I mean, it's just not part of our culture. It's a part of this culture. That's he asks and expects nothing less than a bowed knee and say, Lord, here I am. I surrender it all to you. You're my king. You're my Lord. I stand by you as my brother. Somehow I've been made your brother. I stand by you, Jesus, and I will defend you, and I will defend your name no matter what it costs me. I mean, that's what we're talking about. So that's how the first part begins. Second part says, now do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Wow, there's a promise here. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. As I travel, I have a promise that I can find his good will. We've talked about that. And it happens in the midst of our journey here. It doesn't just happen when I get to heaven. And it doesn't all happen when I made a new creation. The finding of his will happens on the journey, doesn't it? And God is warning us. There's promises and dangers along the way of our journey. There's promises and there's dangers along the way. I can find his will, but there is a danger of being conformed to this world. A danger of being conformed. I want to show you something. Well, back up one. We live much of our lives just down in the feelings and actions. This is where much of life takes place. Some of you have heard me talk to you about this. Others have not. Much of our lives, where we, our work, our school, our relationships, what happens in the home, problems, the stresses of life, the joys and the fun things of life. This is all a lot where a lot of these things happen down here, and just the feelings and the actions of life. Emotions oftentimes rule here, don't they? Emotions oftentimes rule here, and they are connected with our actions. How we feel can dictate a lot of what we do, can it? Have you found that before? Yeah. I'm mad that somebody else got the job that I wanted. And I was counting on that, and I was sure I had it, and all of a sudden they gave it to somebody else. And so what happens? I'm feeling depressed, I'm feeling down, I'm discouraged, and maybe I start to treat the other person badly or the boss badly because, well, it wasn't fair, and you're angry, you're upset about it. So we start having these emotions and these actions that are all coming out of this situation. But why? Is it just a natural thing that you have no control over? Is there a choice in these things? And where do they come from? Well, our actions actually are born out of, and our emotions are born out of, what we think. And that's the next thing. They're born out of what's going on up here in our thoughts. How many people have ever tried to say, you're just feeling down and depressed and having a rotten time, and you think, you know, today I'm going to be happy? How easy is it to just change your emotions because you want to change your emotions? Your emotions are not like a switch that you can flip on and off. Your emotions are the result of something. As are your actions, they are the result of something. They come from our thoughts. Some of this may seem like, why are you talking about this? This is vitally important to being either conformed to the world or transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's vitally important. A change in actions or a change in our emotions begins with a new thought. If you're going to feel differently, you've got to change what you're thinking. If you're going to behave differently or act differently, you have to change what's going on in your thought processes. It's got to start there. So I'm angry. Somebody else got my job, the job that I thought I had. It's not fair. So I'm depressed, I'm bummed about it. So I need to stop and think, wait a minute. There's going to be other jobs. It's not the other person's fault. The boss had a reason for it. And you know what? Hopeful thoughts will begin to change your emotion. God's got plans for me. He's got other things in mind. I don't have to worry that I'm all of a sudden out of God's will for my life. And I'm not going to treat this person, you know, unkindly. My actions, I need to make a choice about my actions and how I'm going to treat this person or how I'm going to treat my boss or how I'm going to do my job, even though I was disappointed. So our feelings and actions are born out of what's going on up here, what we're thinking. Now, how do you change your thoughts? One thing to say, just be positive. How do you change your thoughts? How do you change what you're thinking? Well, you have to change something deeper than what you're thinking. You have to change what you believe. You have to change what you believe. Oh, I was waiting so much. This job was so important to me. I'm just not going to be happy now. This job's going to stink, and everybody thinks that I'm, you know, not good enough, and you know, all of a sudden you're going to have all these thoughts going through your mind. At some point you have to say, if I'm going to change my thinking so that my feelings and actions change, I need to change what I believe. I need to change what I believe. You know what? Wait a minute. God is my provider. Scripture teaches me that. He works out all things to my good. I'm here in this job to be a blessing. It's not all about me. It's not all about me climbing the, you know, getting more money or climbing the corporate ladder. I'm here to be a blessing. And so, you know what? I'm going to change how I think about this because of what I believe. Because I believe that God has a plan for me. Because I believe that He never leaves me alone and that He's working things out for me. I'll change what I believe. When you change your beliefs, or you remember your beliefs, sometimes it's not like you don't know them. You just have to remind yourself, wait a minute, that's not what I believe. This is what I believe. This is what I'm going to think. And if that's what I think, it's going to change the way I feel and my actions. Are you following me? You see how this has everything to do with being transformed by God or conformed by the world? Well, where do your beliefs come from? Does it matter? What if I believe the government is out to get me? I'm probably right. They're bugging my phones. I'm so important that they need to get to find out what's going on with Pastor Frank. You know how I found that out? Because I found it out on a blog on the internet. Yes, the internet said it, and if the internet says it, it's true. Yes. It matters where I get my truth from, right? If that was my thinking, and I thought that somebody was out to get me, and I thought that was true, and I thought I had gotten it from a source of truth, that would impact what I believed about everything that was going on around me. It would change the way I think. I would be forever thinking somebody's listening, somebody's watching, somebody's following. And as a result, I would feel paranoid. I would feel afraid. I would feel anxious. And my actions would be like, you'd be looking for a new pastor. You'd think I was out of my mind. It matters where you get your truth from, doesn't it? Because if the truth is the truth, well, what if I lived in Afghanistan? Could that be true? That could absolutely be true. If I lived in Afghanistan as a pastor, every bit of that scenario could have been true. Because they do bug and follow and check on Christians in that country and in some of the very strong Islamic nations where they're trying to do Sharia law and that. Depends on where your source of truth is, isn't it? In one country, it could have been nonsense. In another country, oh, yeah, that's very real. So where do we get our beliefs from? We get our beliefs from a source of truth. And what's our source of truth? God's word. God's word is our truth. God's word doesn't change. It's true always, and I can depend upon it. And so when I find my truth and it shapes my beliefs, which changes my thinking, it changes the way I live. Now the Holy Spirit warns us, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed. That word conform, if you think about how many people played with Play-Doh when you were a kid or had grandkids played with Play-Doh. You know, you can make it all kinds of shapes, or they had those things that you would stick it in and it would squish through into a shape, and you'd squish it and it would come out like shaped like a star or a heart or whatever it would do. You see, or if you had like a mold, cookie molds would be something. So how many people have baked cookies and you cut them out and shape them into all different kinds of shapes? Because you've had a cookie cutter mold, right? Yeah. And that's, the world wants to conform us, to press us, to shape us, to squeeze it into its image. It does. It's all around us. And the Holy Spirit's warning us, don't be conformed and molded into the world. You know, that we see the word world used in Scripture in different times. Sometimes when it's talking about the physical world, it's using the word cosmos, and it's literally talking about the physical world. Here it's talking about the world as in the present state of things. The current customs, the current ideas, the current thinking. That's what it's talking about when it says don't be conformed to the world. How many people have heard the word zeitgeist? Zeitgeist. That's fun. It's basically a word that it talks about the defining mood or the spirit of a particular period in history. The zeitgeist is of today is very secular. It's about tolerance, you know, in the current definition of tolerance. It's all about relativity, whatever works for you. You know, the time when Christianity and Scripture were held to a high standard of respect, it's not the zeitgeist of today. It's not the world system of today. So Scripture is telling us don't be conformed into the pattern, the zeitgeist, the mood, the spirit of the day. Because guess what? On to the next one. If we allow that to happen, whether it's our feelings and actions, we're taking it, our cues from the world, or the things that we think, we're being influenced by the thinking of the world around us, whether it's by the thinking of the news or entertainment is such an influencer. The music, the movies, talk show hosts, the latest authors, news, the news cycle, it all can conform us and shape us, if we're not aware, into their mode of thinking. And when our, even our beliefs, it's not so much that this world has a certain belief system. Really what it is that this world has said the Bible's no longer the belief system. They haven't replaced it with anything. They just kind of tried to shove the Bible as a place of authority out of the way and left it wide open for whatever you want to go for. And that's kind of where, you know, where it's been left with. So your beliefs are going to be whatever the world happens to be feeling and thinking at this time. Or the truth might be whatever the latest and greatest, you know, thing is that's out there. This verse talks about transformation happening by God's renewing of your mind. It says, don't be conformed, but be transformed. Change the way you think and act and believe by the renewing of your mind. Okay? What's the word renewing? It's a simple word. Renew. What does re mean when you put re onto something? What? Yeah, again, it just says, do it again, new. Again, make it new, like it was originally. Remember those tarnish commercials, Tarnex? They'd take an old nasty spoon that was tarnished and they'd stick it in the Tarnex. And it would come out to be bright and shiny and clean. It's renewed. It's made like it was originally when it was first produced. And that we want God to renew us, make us the way we're supposed to be, the way he created us as a new creation to be made holy. As we are renewed, there's always the temptation to be conformed. But being made new, being made like we were intended, comes as we are changing our thinking through what we believe, through our source of truth. When God is the source of that, then, as Scripture says, we will be renewed, transformed by being renewed, made new again, like Christ. Then, what's that word mean? When you say then. Yeah, as a result. And then, now, okay, so now that you've done this, then you can do that, right? We do that with our kids. When you've finished your vegetables, then you can have dessert, right? There's this, then there's that. Then, what is the then in this? He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then what? What comes next? Let me hear it. Yeah, find His will. We can find God's will, but we're not going to be able to find it if we're not allowing ourselves to be renewed and transformed. One comes before the other in God's economy, and we have to be renewed. So our whole focus today was on thinking like a follower of Jesus, right? If I'm a follower of God, if I'm truly a follower of Jesus, He needs to change my mind. He needs to change my thinking, change how things work. And you see how much that impacts? If I am going to Him for my truth, I'm letting Him change my beliefs so that I'm conformed to Him and not to the world, so that my thinking follows what I truly believe. My feelings, I'll be a person of joy in the midst of the troubles. I'll be a person of hope. Even when I'm hurt, even when somebody betrays me, I can be like Christ to say, Lord, yet not my will, but yours be done. And as Jesus did, He went out to Judas. And what did He do when He met Judas? He kissed him on the cheek. Or Judas kissed Him. That's right, I got that backwards. Yeah. But he came and said, do what you came to do. Put himself out there and said, Lord, your will be done, not mine. And when we do that, we will be able to find, that's why we can be a person of hope when things are difficult. Because I know I've been promised that God's going to lead me through whatever is going on, whatever struggle is going on in my life, whatever struggle is going on in your life. Say, Lord, I want to worship You. This is the reasonable, rational thing to do when I think about my God who is merciful to me. I offer You, Lord, my life, and I want You to transform my mind by renewing it more and more, making it new again, and more like You designed me and created me to be. And we'll do that through, let me just take a survey. How do we do that? How would we renew our minds? Yeah. Get back in the Word more. Do you ever stop starting to get in the Word? Never stop starting. There are going to be times when you get off track and you're like, oh, I've fallen off. I haven't been in the Word for a long time. Start. Get back in the Word. Yes. Okay. Just, all right. I'm going to just start doing what You call me to do in this situation and that situation. So that literally renews your mind, doesn't it? Don't just be hearers, but what? Doers. It does no good for you to just hear it and not do it. When you hear it and do it, you're right. We become renewed. Yeah. Spend more time in prayer, seeking after God. How are you going to get to know someone that you don't spend time talking with. Yeah. When you just spend time in his presence, he's going to renew your mind. What else? How else? What? I'm sorry? Trust him? Yeah. That's kind of the what he says to do, just be obedient, right? You got to trust him in order to be obedient to him. Yeah. Fill our minds with things that are going to uplift and things that are going to reinforce the truths, the beliefs. Those are the things that are going to affect our thinking and bring that renewal. We can get awful tarnished, can't we? We spend a lot of time digging around in the dirt. You know how spoons get like that? Yeah. If you're using something to dig around in the dirt and all kinds of stuff like that, it's going to look pretty bad. Take it and keep ourselves focused on, you know, things that are going to uplift us. Yeah. Anything else? What else? Yeah. Wow. So, a thankful heart. A thankful heart brings us, and recalling them, because oftentimes we're thankful for something that God did, right? And then what happens to our thankfulness? We forget it. It kind of goes behind and we move on to things, right? Revisiting God's goodness towards us puts us back thinking about what? Believing our beliefs about God and how he is so good and faithful to us, meeting us in our needs. It changes our thinking. Again, our thinking changes how we act and how we feel. Spending time with other people that encourage us. Let me just ask you a rhetorical question. Besides Sunday morning, where are you spending time with others that are going to build you up? Is an hour on Sunday enough? I will let you answer the question by how much of in your life, how much of your truth and beliefs and thinking are filled up with Christ-like thoughts? How much of your life are you thinking like a follower of Jesus? You'll find that we were meant to be gathering more than just once on a Sunday morning. Unfortunately, that's what our culture has kind of conformed us into. But it's We need, that's why Scripture tells us not to forsake the assembling of one another. It's so important that we gather not only to worship him as we do here on Sunday morning, but to be challenged and encouraged and taught by one another. It's vital, people. If you're not in a place of prayer with other believers or study with other believers, then you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle down here in your feelings and actions because your thinking is not being born out of things that are their beliefs and truth that you're having refreshed and filled in your life on a regular basis. That's just the reality, especially, you know what, 100 years ago when the world was a lot more Christian, it was a lot easier to do that. It's tough to do that and keep your eyes on Christ. So these are all important things. If we want to become followers of Jesus who think like him and to be able to find that promise of finding God's good and pleasing and purpose will, allow him to renew your mind. And those promises are yours. Amen? Well, let's take a minute. I'm just going to close us in prayer today. And next week is the last week. We're going to talk about living like a follower of Christ. Talked about thinking, how we think. Next week, how am I living? So what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ who lives it out? Father God, as we gather around your word, and God, we want so much more than an emotional experience, but God, we want an emotional experience. It's not supposed to be one or the other. We want to come into your presence and love you and worship you and adore you for dying on the cross for us. And at the same time, we want to come into your word and say, God, teach me how to go deeper. I want to become more mature. I want to become more like you as I live out my life after walking out the doors of our church. So thank you, Father God, for your word, your promises, your good, your pleasing, your perfect will. It's available to me. And I just need to let you transform me, renew my mind, and I'll find that. Thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness there. Bless us as we go and continue, Lord, to live out this journey of life that we are all on. Thank you for helping us to be transformed along the way. And we ask this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day walking out and living and thinking like a follower of Christ.